friends, welcome back after a little break to what page are you on? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
And I really am here.
We're looking each other in the eyes.
My good friend and business partner together again. Friends reunited, if you will.
Thank God.
In the same place.
The terrible chemistry is finally going to be fixed.
So true, bestie. How you been?
Oh, just living my life, really. All good. How are you?
Alive and well.
God love you.
I'm glad that we're back on this little rodeo.
It is so nice to record in person for two main reasons. Firstly, I can have all my notes spread out before me. I've got my laptop open. I've got the book up to hand. I've got my phone ready. Secondly, because I'm not under a fucking blanket for the acoustics.
Yep. So, you know, maybe it will sound a little different today, but we think it's worth it.
Yeah, we do think it's worth it.
What have you been reading recently, my good binge?
I'm reading, so on the go right now, I've got a book called Everyone in This Room Will Someday Be Dead by Emily Austin, which I'm about halfway through. I'm fucking loving it. I would describe it as like a queer, less annoying Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. If that makes sense. So it's about this woman who, she's a hypochondriac. She is incredibly anxious, like just another level of anxiety. And basically, she ends up kind of losing her job and then bumbling her way into this position, working as the, like, is receptionist the right word? The admin assistant at a church. But she's an atheist. They don't know she's gay. So she's kind of weirdly trying to conceal everything about her life, even though she may not even need to. And, you know, hilarity ensues. But it's also much darker. And, yeah, I'm just loving it. I'm loving it.
Cool. I like the look of this. It's got a nice, sunny, orangey yellow cover, and as Alice and I often discuss, we love judging books by their covers.
We certainly do. Also, it's in like sunshine tones, which reminds me, the other book that I've completed recently was Kazuo Ishiguro, Clara and the Sun.
Yes, you have.
Oh my god, what a banger.
I'm so glad you liked it, because I was not sure if you would. I don't know why. I loved it, but then I was like, oh, maybe Alice won't like this. I don't know, maybe it's too dry. I don't know.
Well, cause I think, so I listened to the audiobook, and the audiobook was read incredibly. I loved the voice actor, and I just found the voice really compelling. Mm. Like, it's very clear and, like, just kind of rolls along really smoothly. Like, it's just a really incredible book. Yeah, I really dug it.
Cool, I'm glad, yeah, because I just feel like I love Katsuo Ishiguro the way that I love a dry breakfast, just because the style is dry. The experience to me of consuming them is juicy and delicious, but I know that they're not for everyone. Maybe. I don't know.
The style is dry.
You know
what
I mean?
But that's the thing is, I wouldn't describe Clara and the Sun as dry, like, as in, like, just, I know that you're not being literal, but I actually described it as like a hot knife through butter. Mm. Like, it just glides along very smoothly. In that, I think it, like, just because it's very accessible. And because Kazuo Ishiguro has more kind of literary strings to his bow as well, I think that it's easy to forget that actually some of his work is incredibly accessible.
Yeah. It's not so much accessibility. It's more just in terms of, I feel like often his protagonists are quite, like, straightforward. Like, I don't know. He's not a, on the surface, a writer of, like, emotion. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And I think that with Clara and the Sun, because she's a robot.
She's literally a robot.
Yeah, like, so she has, like, an almost naive quality to her. So you're seeing the world very much through her eyes. And, yeah, she has a very unique lens, which I found really compelling.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you liked it. I really liked her. I love him. He's my boy. But yeah, I was just like, maybe it's not for my bro. I don't know. But I'm glad it was for my bro.
The only thing I will say, though, is that I have found with audiobooks, I'm quite a passive listener.
Mm.
So I always feel, if I listen to fiction for the first time via audio, I always feel compelled to reread it. If I liked it enough, I kind of do want to reread it, just because I think that I experience work very differently when I'm reading it on the page.
Yes.
So who knows, maybe I'll read it and be like, actually, now that I don't have this incredible voice kind of, you know, dragging me along, you
guiding
know,
you.
Guiding me, keeping me enraptured. Maybe I'll have a different feeling, but
I also think that if you're taking the trouble to read something that you already enjoyed, you probably will enjoy reading it. Mm-hmm. The odds of you not enjoying it once you've already liked it once, I don't know.
What are you currently reading?
So I'm not really enjoying the book that I started last night. I'm not very far into it. It's kind of boring, so I'm just going to stop reading it. No hard feelings. It's just not my vibe. But I have been reading two books back to back by the same author who... This is a Katherine Ryan Howard stan podcast now. Every week I come back with a new tale of how much I love Katherine Ryan Howard. So I read her new book, 56 Hours... which is coming out in August. And then I went back and read her debut, which is called Distress Signals. This is after I read two of her other books back to back a couple of months ago. Obsessed. Yeah. So 56 Hours out in August. It is set in lockdown, which Ooh. Is not a turn on for me. In fact, it is a big turn off. I have no real interest in reading anything to do with the thing that we literally just experienced. Just like I don't really want to read any material that deals with, like, the Brexit vote or whatever. You know, things that have happened in the recent past that were unpleasant. Not really interested on a surface level, but because I love her so much, I read it and I was like, this is so banging.
I feel like, am I... Because I'm very open to lockdown novels. I just don't want to read shit ones.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that this experience has been so bizarre. But I think we'll surely have got a lot of people... kind of inspired to write quite claustrophobic narratives. There's a lot of room for quite gothic narratives, like being trapped in your home, the eeriness of like the outside being completely deserted. Like it hits a lot of my buttons. Yeah. Now I'm not gonna fucking write that book, but I for the right author, yeah. I'm up for it.
I think it's more that on the face of it, that's not a selling point for me.
Yeah.
I will not read something because it is a lockdown novel. But love this one, Juicy. Just, yeah, exactly what I was looking for in the world.
All right, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's so good. Because,
just to recap, I can't remember if you already said it or not, but The Nothing Man was a book by Katherine Ryan Howard that we flagged a couple of episodes ago. I was going to say a couple of weeks ago, but actually it's been like...
2 months.
7 months, yeah. But I did actually get around to reading that in our break, and I absolutely loved it. Mm. Oh my God, it's just so good. It's everything I want from a thriller.
So
like,
true.
I loved the, like, threads of true crime in there. I loved the book within the book. Oh, there was just so much to enjoy. I really liked it.
She is a great, great author. And it is just one of those strange little things that she's not as famous in this country as she should be. I think she's very hop-in in Ireland, her native land, which is great. But I just feel like the UK needs to embrace her as the genius that she is.
I do think, though, that... And maybe this is an obscene thing to say, so, you know, whatever. But I think with bookshops not being open over the last however long, I know they're open again now, but it feels like it's been a really long time without bookshops. And I just found that, like, it's very difficult to tell from, you know, browsing online and living a life online. It's very difficult to see which thrillers are, like, hopping and bubbling to the surface. I don't know... For a while, I've kind of felt like the golden age of thrillers is past. It's really... I've read just so many that haven't really done it for me. And there are still, like, authors who we know and love who are continuing to produce good work, but there's been fewer, like, new authors that have, like...
Come along with a fresh idea or a fresh vibe.
Like, yeah, like, caught my eye. And I have wondered if partly that is because of the lack of bookshops where, you know, you could, you know, see things popping off. And so, I don't know, maybe it's because of that.
Could be. But yeah, we are here to advocate for the good lad, Katherine Ryan Howard. So that's what I've been reading recently.
Oh, good shit.
Without further ado, shall we dive right in?
Our little YouTuber over here.
Yes.
Okay, so we have had midsummer. We are past the midpoint of the year. By the time this episode lands, it will be July. So we're going to do like a recap of our best books so far of 2021. I think most of these we have already talked about in one way or another. But, you know, that's just how the cookie crumbles. We'll kind of go back over them and there might be one or two that we haven't talked about yet.
But maybe this will be what kicks it over the line for you. If you were kind of, you know, thinking about it before, may this be the encouragement you need to hop on board with these books.
Okay, so we've got a list of 9 and then 3 honourable mentions. I was going to do a list of 10, but then one of the honourable mentions isn't out till 2022, so that felt like an unfair book to include. But they're in no particular order, they're just in the order of which I read them, because I just went through my Goodreads.
I have read all of them except for 1, so that's good.
And I read all but 2.
Okay, that's quite unusual.
I know.
I have read... Well, yeah.
I'll tell you for why. Because one of the ones that you added to the list I hadn't read, I lent to Emily Hatzar.
Like an idiot.
Like an absolute fool. And she loved it. And then she's kept it for fucking ages. So I haven't got around to it. This isn't... Don't feel anxious, Emily. This isn't a subtweet. I'm naming you directly. It's a call out. Yep. Right?
This is a brutal takedown.
Okay, so the first one that we have on our books of the year is The Transition Baby. And I feel like this is going to end up on a lot of the overall books of 2021 lists.
Deservedly
so. So shall I nutshell it?
Please.
We've done a whole episode on this. So if this wets your whistle but doesn't quite finish you off, is that a phrase? No, that
sounds
not
rude.
That's not what I want to be saying. Yeah, you know, but if yeah, anyway, you can listen to us talk about this in more detail. But The Transition Baby by Tori Peters is a book about a kind of an unlikely trio. So we have Reese, a trans woman. We have her ex-girlfriend who has since detransitioned, Ames. And then we have Ames's boss, Katrina. Yeah. Katrina? Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically the scenario is Ames and Katrina have an affair. Katrina ends up pregnant and unsure how to like raise this baby and what they want to do. Ames suggests that maybe they should get his ex, Reese, involved in raising the child.
Because she's always wanted to be a mother, but she's a trans woman and knows that the barriers to that are very high.
So yeah, that's like the premise in a nutshell. And then in terms of like texture of language, it's like a very readable, it's all third person narration, but it sits very closely behind Ames and Reese, and then a slightly more distant voice for Katrina. As it kind of describes the two trans women, or rather Reese's and Ames's backstories. Don't really get so much of Katrina's backstory. And then it kind of talks about like what their contemporary life is like in New York, how they've ended up there, how their relationship ended up souring, and like everything that kind of happened to them to lead up to the present day narration. And yeah, it's a banger. It's incredibly well written. Like the characters are really believable. You get very invested. I've always said like my one beef with it is that I'm not totally sold on the actual premise. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like the narration truly explains why
this would occur to anyone as a good idea.
Yeah, like why Katrina would be like, cool, let's invite a stranger in to like raise our child. But I think like, you know, it's the premise of the book, so you kind of have to just, you kind of just have to accept it. Yeah.
It's worth overlooking that to read the book, because the book is delightful and fun and sad and thought-provoking, and yeah, I love it. Next on the list is Little Scratch by Rebecca Watson, which I read on your recomendación, and I loved it. It is a little gulp of a book that you get down you in one go, and it's just the day in the life of a gal in London who works in an office, and it's told in quite a unusual style, and it doesn't have a lot of words on the page, but you get a lot from it.
So it's like a stream of consciousness kind of mixed with an almost kind of poetic approach to typography. So like the way that the words appear on the page, it kind of reminds me of the kind of creativity in Lanny by Max Porter.
You know
like the villagers talking and the words kind of roll over one another in little wiggly lines and waves and things. Kind of reminds me of that, which is why, like, yeah, it's a very quick read, but also it definitely is one of those books that I feel like I will revisit.
Yep.
Because there's no way you could possibly have caught everything.
I agree. Well, something I did not catch at the time, but was pointed out to me afterwards, is when I was reading it, she goes to a canteen in her office, and it made me think of a canteen from my life that I had, you know, eaten lunch in many times, which was the canteen at the Financial Times, which was where my first job after I graduated was. I worked there with friend of the pod, my friend John, who listens to the pod, and he pointed out last time I saw him that Rebecca Watson worked at the FT. So the office she was describing and the canteen she was describing was the same canteen I had actually been envisaging. Like, her description of, like, pictures on the walls, of, like, the geography of the office, that was describing the office that we had worked in. So that was very interesting to me that I had, for once, for the first time in my life, been accurately imagining something as written on the page.
So I really love that because the description isn't that specific, and often I feel like that's kind of how good writing goes. The more specific you get, the more granular in detail a writer goes into to describe a room, the less engaging it is. Yeah. Like if I say kitchen, you're going to you picture a kitchen. You don't need to know. No, I need you to be picturing my grandmother's kitchen in Birmingham in 80s, yeah. Steady Park. Like you don't need those exact details. So something very satisfying about discovering that, like that telepathy between author and reader, like you were bang on there.
I was right there with my jacket potato and my tuna, my little grated cheese. I was there. Yeah, so we love this book. It's great. Yeah.
Definitely also a good one for like train journey scenario, swimming pool scenario, afternoon in the pub, like because you can read it in one go. I think it took me about 2 hours, something like that.
It's a quick little read.
Very satisfying though. I love that. Yeah. Especially I think when in lockdown a lot of people are struggling to read, so actually just being like,
I read a whole book.
Here's the thing, I'm gonna just bash out. I'm gonna spend 2 hours without my phone in my hand. Smash it. Cool. Okay, so the next is also another book that I did exactly that with. So I don't know if this is a cheat because I don't think it's actually out until next week, but it's already in bookshop, so fuck it.
Yeah.
Come Closer by
Sarah Gran.
Oh my god, thank you. I didn't put the author's names down because I assumed I'd remember them all and that one had left me. So this one is Demonic Possession. It's a novella, it's a reissue from Faber, it's a 90s book about a woman who gets possessed by a demon. It is so fucking good, so readable. Scary.
It is so scary.
Tell me about your reading experience of this book then.
Well, okay, so if you said to me, you got to read this book, it's about demonic possession, I'd be like, do I have to? Like, I'm not that up for it. I don't know, it just, on the face of it, didn't necessarily appeal to me. But like, it just works so well. It's so creepy. It's the book it reminded me the most of was actually In the Cut by Susanna Moore. I don't know why.
It's the texture of the writing. It's just something about the writing style that really reminded me of In the Cut.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it was in my brain because it's another reissued 90s book by a woman. Like, maybe that, you know, that was what led me to kind of think of that in the first place. But I do think that there is something really similar about the two books. The writing style is quite similar. But yeah, it's just so creepy. It's so, like, disconcerting. I got really obsessed for, like, 2 weeks with this podcast called Radio Rental, which is, like, kind of creepy, weird stories from people's lives. And it basically reminded me of, like, if In the Cut was a Radio Rental episode. Ooh. It's so good. Yeah, I just loved it. And I read it really quickly because I was just like, I want to know what happens. I want to know. Even though I knew it was a demonic possession, I still wanted to know what happened.
But that's the thing. I'm like, obviously, that's not a spoiler. I think it's like very much sold on the fact that it's a demonic possession or like a ghost story. It's, you know, it's sold on it having some kind of supernatural, otherworldliness to it. Yeah. I woke up at like 5:30, 6 a.m. one morning and couldn't get back to sleep. So I just smashed through a PDF. And I only meant to read until I felt tired enough to fall asleep again. But suddenly it was 8 a.m. I'd shit the bed. Like, my life was over.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, it's fucking wicked. And again, if you usually trust our taste but don't really like horror, then go. There's another book on this list as well that falls into the same category. But, like, give this one a try.
Give this one
you
a try.
You don't have much to lose.
Yeah, and I just feel like I don't necessarily find I read a lot of like literary horror, and that is something that maybe I would be interested in reading more of. I would be very interested in reading other books like Come Closer by Sarah Gran.
So yeah, I mean, literary horror is an interesting thing because, like, horror in general, I love horror movies, I like literary horror. I'm quite fussy about the horror that I read though. Like, I keep trying Grady Hendrix because he sucks me in with his premises, but then I just don't gel with the writing style at all. And I keep finding that. And then I feel like, you know, literary ghost stories are very easy to come across, but any other kind of like supernatural horror. I'm thinking like Kirsty Logan is a good example of someone whose writing I really vibe with that's both horror but also has something more to it, you know?
But yeah, I would like more. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that you're talking about literary horror and you're not mentioning X, let's know who you're thinking of, because I want to know. The next one on the list is Night Shift by Kiara Ladner, which we did a whole little reading group episode on. So we have kind of covered a lot of the stuff, much like we had with Detransition Baby, but we will tell you about it once more. So it's about a gal who takes a job in an office and gets kind of intrigued by one of her colleagues called Sabine. And when Sabine goes on night shifts, she changes her shift pattern to kind of follow her. And it's just about her growing obsession with Sabine and the way that doing this job and pursuing Sabine kind of takes over her life. And yeah, that's kind of the general vibe, right?
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. It's all about like the kind of weirdness of being completely out of sync by working night shifts and like that trying to work out who you are when you're so enraptured by someone else. Like, are you taking on, is this person making like a psychic impression on you, or are you finding yourself through this person that inspires you? I really, really, really love this. Again, it's another book that I read in like a day or two. I think I read it over 2 days. I just loved it. And it's exactly the kind of thing I want to read. It felt very fresh, but also it's like following on in this like pantheon of books about women's relationships with one another. I was going to say friendship and then I stopped because it's a queer book.
Mm.
But it's one of those books that starts with what feels like a blossoming friendship but then completely grows into something more. I really loved it.
Me too. And then just talking about it then, straight after we talked about Come Closer, I'm like, wouldn't it have been so good if Sabine was actually a vampire?
Ooh!
I'm just trying to make everything a horror now. I can't help it. I'm trying to just add a little sprinkling of horror to everything I read.
I love that. I think you should write a horror novel.
Maybe. So, you're going to chat about the next book because I ain't read it.
Yeah, you haven't read this one yet.
I have not.
And I think you should because I think you'll like it. So, the next one on our list is Absorbed by Kylie Whitehead. This is also a horror novel. So, I think, is this our first? It's our first small independent press on the list. Not our first indie, though. So, Absorbed is about a woman who, she feels her relationship is falling apart. Her boyfriend of 10 years is starting to kind of pull away a little bit. So in her panic at the thought of losing him, she physically absorbs him into her body. And this all happens in like the first chapter. I really like this novel. It becomes, again, much like how I just described Night Shift, it's very much about like the psychic impressions that people can leave upon us and like how the people in our lives shape who we are. But in a very literal sense. I also kind of compared it to Megan Nolan's Acts of Destruction.
Acts of Desperation, sorry.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that as well. Like that kind of obsessive need to be with your partner and that whatever they give you can never possibly be enough. But then it has this like surreal horror twist to it.
Fascinating.
It's really good. And I feel like whenever I've described it to people, the response I often get is a question of how this premise can possibly
sustain for a whole book.
Yeah. And all I can say is that it does.
Like, okay, cool.
It absolutely does. There's definitely more to it than the relationship and then that first scene. There is some like body horror aspects. There's like some really toe-curling scenes as well. Like, I think it's a stone-cold banger.
Cool. Well, I have a copy at home and you have convinced me to read it. So thank you.
You are welcome.
My friend. So next on the list was Clara and the Sun, which we have kind of just discussed at the beginning of the episode, but it's the new book by my boy Katsuo Shiguro, and it is about a robot.
Yeah.
A humanoid robot, an android, if you will.
Android, that's the word, yeah.
Whose purpose in life is to be the companion to what is essentially a disabled child. So, yeah. The purpose of this android is to be the companion for this child, essentially for the rest of their life. And it's about the experience of this particular android with a girl and her family.
And you know what? I made a mistake in listening to this audiobook. As you know, I love my bookstagram, and I was flipping through Instagram and read a review that spoiled the fucking book with no warning whatsoever.
And then it turned out she had just completely misunderstood the plot, so it didn't matter anyway.
We can discuss this later.
Yeah,
and I really want to know what that, yeah. Is this the person that keeps misunderstanding things?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. But I guess I bring that up because it's definitely in Kazuya Shigure's signature style, very easy to follow, but also he really is the master of breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
So I can understand why you may think you've missed something. You may think that, like, that you may think that you're not following it, but you are, man. Like, you just have to roll with it, yeah, and it all becomes clear.
I hate
you. Or not, as the case may be. Okay, so next on the list is Luster by Raven Alani. Again, this is one that I expect will be on the top of a lot of the 2021 Best of Books lists. It fucking bangs. It's about a young woman living in New York who gets into a relationship with an older dude. And what am I missing? I'm missing a key point. Oh, an older dude who has a black daughter, and she ends up really bonding as a black woman, as a young black woman. She bonds with this daughter, and it's about how she fits into this very strange family dynamic where his wife is...
He and his wife are white. That's a key thing to mention.
Yes.
So she's in a relationship with a white guy who has adopted a black daughter with his white wife.
That's it. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just that one of those incredible millennial looks at, like, the kind of transient nature of a millennial
work
life
and life and relationships
in your 20s, especially, like, it's such a 20s,
yeah,
kind of narrative. But the, again, like, the writing is just fantastic. I loved it on a line level. I loved where it took me.
I can't wait to read more from her. I'm very hyped about that.
Yeah, that's gonna be a really hyped second book.
I hope so.
And I feel like it deserves more hype.
Yeah, you know? I feel like it was, we all expected it to maybe be more hyped than it was. And now I feel like people are not talking about it as much as they should be.
I think because it came out in January. Yeah. So people, like, I mean, we both read it in
last
2020.
Year. Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to. It was lucky I remembered that that book came out this year. Otherwise, I could have accidentally left it off. But, yeah, and I suppose, you know, we're saying that. This is always the thing with hardbacks, though. It's like, hardbacks sometimes do come and go without... Mm. As much fanfare as you might hope, but then maybe the paperback, I would expect to see it fucking everywhere.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So the last two on the list, I think, are two that I have read and you have not. Is that right?
Correct.
So I assume it was the service that you gave to Emily Hatzell.
Yes.
And that she is now in possession of.
Nope, I have it back.
Oh, you have it back.
I just haven't read it yet. I got it back like 2 days ago.
Well, The Service is by Frankie Mirren, published by Influx. I loved it so much that I actually have a blurb on it.
Oh!
Yeah, so if you get a finished copy, you will see my name on it.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I loved The Service. It is probably, at the moment, it's kind of up there as, like, my favourite book of the year. It's told from the perspective of three different people, two sex workers, and one white middle-class lady journalist who is on an anti-sex work crusade in her life and in her work, partially motivated by the introduction of sex robots in London as, like, an alternative to sex workers. And it's just so thought-provoking and kind and compassionate to everyone, but so radical in what it is writing about. And it just really feels like an honor to read it, just in terms of how deep and nuanced it is, how truthfully it is representing, like, the lives and the fears and the experiences of sex workers. It just, you really feel like you are lucky to be reading it. It is so good. And Frankie Mirren, such a good writer. Because, you know, someone being an amazing non-fiction writer, and in her case a journalist, does not necessarily mean you're going to write an amazing novel, but she did. So I cannot recommend this enough. Hop on the hype train early, because this is from Influx. It's not from, like, a massive publisher that's putting loads of money behind it. We know what a horrible fucking kicking sex workers get in mainstream media. It's going to be like a hard sell from a marketing point of view, publicity. So anything that we can do to help it pop off, because I cannot think of a single person who shouldn't read this book, just in terms of, like, whatever you think about sex workers or sex work or whatever,
if you are like pro sex worker rights, you will love it because it's a great book about people that you already know and love. If you are like kind of not sure how you feel about it, then reading this book will give you an insight into like what life is actually like, and it's so good. Read it.
And it comes highly recommended by Molly Smith
and Juno Mack.
Juno Mack of Revolting Prostitute.
Exactly. It's so. Basically like a fiction companion piece to Revolting Prostitutes, which is another book that I just love. So yeah, love it. Love it.
I'm really,
love it.
Really excited about that. And I think it shows that, you know, like small independent presses, like it takes a lot of grit to put out books that, you know, are going against the grain in terms of like what we consider to be literary or, you know, accessible. I don't know, it's really exciting, and
yeah, we are blessed.
Yeah, we're lucky to have him. Although I do realize I have to issue a correction because I said Absorbed was from Influx. It's not from Influx. Absorbed is from New Ruins, which is a project, a collaboration between Influx and Dead Ink.
I see. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I kind of think of it as an Influx book because I know it was edited by one of the Influx editors, but it is not. It is a collaboration piece. Okay, and then the last one on the list.
Also a book that I know you have not yet read, but I think you would really enjoy, is Piranesi by Susanna Clarke, which is so not my vibe in general. Like, I thought this was a book for, like, other people, and then I read it, and it turned out it was a book for me too.
That's the thing. I think secretly in my heart, I still don't think it's a book for me.
Yeah, I think it is possibly a book for you, my friend.
Oh man.
It's about a dude who lives in what is essentially a flooded museum and spends his life documenting his movement through this flooded, the different flooded halls, the different statues he passes, the tides, the birds, all of this stuff that is around him. And then as the book goes on, you kind of learn what is happening, who he is, why he's there. And it is just fascinating. It is fascinating. It is juicy. It is beautifully written. If, like me, you think, possibly not for me, I would say it's really short, or at least it's relatively short. That was one of the reasons I read it, was because I wanted to have read something that was up for the Women's Prize before we did the Women's Prize episode, and I had it on my Kindle and it didn't look that long, and I just read it on those grounds, and I was so happy that I did, because I think without that push I might have just been like, oh, you know, it's for like other people. And by other people, I mean people who like things like Angela Carter, or like that kind of, I don't know,
yeah, like the surreal, maybe postmodern,
slightly more fantastical stuff.
Yeah.
But no, I absolutely loved it. And yeah, I think about it often. It's a delight.
I think maybe because my husband has the hardback, which I don't fancy. Maybe when it comes out in paperback.
Yeah, or do it on audio. That could be nice. I don't know, maybe.
I'm concerned that I'm too much of a passive listener. Yeah. And that, because I already feel in my heart it's not for me.
Yeah, yeah, it may wash over you too much. Yeah,
I'll disappear into my mind palace, fully dissociate, and have absolutely no idea what's been happening in my ears.
Which may be relevant to the book. So maybe that's actually an apt way to consume it. So yeah, I would strongly recommend Piranesi. Very different from The Service, the last book I just recommended to you. Completely different, but both excellent vibes.
That's the thing though, isn't it? Like, looking over this list, I feel like you can really see our taste, and then Piranesi is just quite a wild card. But I guess, I mean, when you look at the sum total of the books we've read this year so far, there are some really different titles in the mix as well. We just generally like books about women, particularly if they are doing something unusual or that goes against the grain or involves demonic possession.
Yeah, we love a demon. So, would you like to move on to the honourable mentions? Because I have not read the honourable mentions.
Oh, God. Right, so I've got three honourable mentions on the list. Two of them because they are books by my very close friends, so it doesn't feel right just to include them in the top 10, but I did absolutely love them and I want to give them a shout out. And then the other is a title that's from 2022, so I think that's just annoying. Number one is Yes, Yes, More, More by Anna Wood. This is a short story collection. I published Anna's story Francine in Outsiders with Three of Cups Press. I just absolutely love the way she writes. The stories are just incredible. They're very warm. There's still lots of threads of darkness to it, but like,
on the whole, they're stories that just say, like, yes to life. You know, like, they celebrate joy, they celebrate sex, they celebrate food and music.
This sounds so up my street.
It is so fucking good, mate. Oh, it kills me. Yeah, you'll just love, you will love it. And also, like, it's very kind of, like, in terms of, like, its kind of literary aspirations, it's simultaneously very down to earth and is very no nonsense, you know? Like, it's not whimsical. Like, it's very, like, down to earth. But also does this really weird, interesting stuff with time. Like, there's one story which is called, I want to say When Can You Start? Something like that. But it won the Galley Beggars Prize. And it's about a woman who is in a job interview that's going so well. She is simultaneously on holiday. Like, with the spoils of her new job, right? And, like, it is such a strange, but like, it's such a strange idea. It's such a strange story to navigate. And, like, I just absolutely love it. And, you know, talking to Anna about where that came from, she was like, you're not really excited to work. You're excited to
benefit, like, from the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just absolutely love it. I love it to absolute death. So, Yes, Yes, More, More. Cannot recommend that enough. And then the other one was from my friend Kat Ward, The Last House on Needless Street. Me, Kat and Anna all went to uni together, so that's why I have to, like, they're a pair, they come together. This is a completely different book, but it's really fucking banging. The Last House on Needless Street is also horror.
Yeah.
Horror that, like, is not quite like anything else you will read. I thought I was, Kat, man, she knows how to tell a story. I really thought that I knew what was happening, and I had this, like, very strange experience of then Emily was reading it. Emily Hatzar, who I've already slagged off in this episode. Emily texted me being like, oh my God, is it X? And I was like, just text me when you finish the next page. And sure enough, in like 30 seconds, another text. Oh wait, shit, is it Y? And I was like, okay, cool. Just text me in like one chapter time. Like, it just, every time you think you're ahead of Kat, she is fucking 50 steps ahead of you. Like, anyway, it's, everyone who talks about this book says it's really hard to talk about without spoilering it. So that's all I'm going to say. But the basic premise is that there's a serial killer, there's a missing child, there is a lonely man who lives in isolation, and there is a woman who is looking to find her long-lost sister.
Okay.
That's the setup.
Yep.
The rest, what you do with that is your business. Anyway, yeah, so absolutely love that. And then the final honourable mention is to New Animal by Ella Baxter. So this is coming out from Picador in 2022, so it can't be on the 2021 list. I haven't talked about it anywhere yet because I've only got an Australian edition and the cover apparently is going to be totally different, so I'm just holding out before I post about it. But just want to, like, jot down now, it's so fucking good. It's about a woman who works in a funeral home as a makeup artist on the deceased. And then her mother dies, and it completely throws her into a tailspin. And she, well, that's all I'm going to say.
Cool.
But it absolutely fucking slaps. It's so good. So yeah, those are my three honourable mentions.
I love this. I love this for you and for future me who will read them.
You know what's really funny? Recording outside of the blanket.
Yes.
I gesticulate so much.
We love to gesticulate.
Yeah, I really, I'm a jester.
Yes.
But under my little blanket, I think that's why I always feel a little bit stifled. Not just like physically stifled, but that I can't
move your hands in the way that you so desire.
Which obviously our friends at home do not benefit from anyway, but rest assured, man. The spirit of it. It's like I'm conducting my own words.
So true, bestie. Cool.
All right.
Well, that was fun.
Let's knock it on the head.
Let's knock it on the head. We will be back next week with a hopefully juicy episode.
With an episode that's just so ridiculous. But it's fun.
Yep. We'll see you then. And we'll see you then.
Bye. Bye.